If you would, open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy this morning. This letter to 2 Timothy is written to a young man, Timothy, about to take on new responsibilities, about to take on new challenges, without the man who was, in a sense, like a father to him, the Apostle Paul. Meaning he wouldn't be on his own, he would be have a new sense of independence, much like what our graduate is going to be experiencing now. She'll face new challenges as she leaves high school and enters this new phase in her life. So I thought the things that Paul wrote in this last letter to Timothy would give us some principles. Principles that he shares with his son in the faith as Paul's about to, see him go out on his own. I think will help you in your new ventures as you go out face new challenges in life. And the very first chapter of this book focuses upon the will of God. It begins with words of thankfulness for Timothy and for his family. Look at verse 3. He says, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." We are thankful for you, Colleen, this morning, and we're thankful for your heritage of your family. As Paul prayed for Timothy, we will be in prayer for you as you go out into your new life. And I would just, Paul reminded him about his spiritual heritage, and I would remind you of yours as well, from the things that you have learned from your family and from hopefully from this church, that will help you and establish you in your Christian life and walk. In verses 6 through 8, he gives words of encouragement. He says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." Paul encourages Timothy. He says, "Timothy, you have gifts that God has given you." I think each and every one of us have gifts and abilities that God has given us. And what he's telling him, he says, you need to stir up those gifts that you have. Whatever God has enabled you to do, you need to stir that up and bring it to full flame in your life and use those gifts for His service and for His glory. You know, this is a message in a particular sense for Colleen this morning, but this is for all of us. All of us can heed this, no matter what stage you're at in life. We all are gifted and we are all encouraged to serve the Lord. And we don't have to do it in our own strength. It says the spirit that dwells in you is not a spirit of fear. He says it's one of power and of love and of a sound mind. God's Holy Spirit indwelling us gives us power, gives us wisdom, gives us strength and direction in our lives. And so I would encourage you to use the gifts that God has given you and the opportunities that He has given you. And to not be ashamed. We live in a world these days that's getting more and more, the word is animosity. There's more and more animosity toward Christians in our world today than I've ever seen before. In our own country, not just in the world, we kind of expect it in the world, but in our own country we see it more and more. And Timothy was going to face that same type of opposition, so he tells him, he says, don't be afraid, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner. And I think taking a stand for Jesus Christ in the world today is important for us. It's important for young people who know the Lord to be willing to do that, to stand for the Lord and to not be afraid, to just rest in the power that God has given you in His Spirit and His Word, to live a life that pleases Him. Look at verse 9. He says, God is the one who has saved us. God is the one who has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I think that's one of the things that we all need to realize in life, and I think as young people, that's especially something that you need to understand and realize, is that God has a purpose for your life. He has saved you. He has called you with a holy calling according to not your works or your goodness in any way, but according to His own purpose. You want to see that life that He's given you and that purpose fulfilled. So it's important that you realize that the will of God in your life is such an important thing. And there's no need to be ashamed. Look at verse 12. He says, "For this reason I also suffer these things." Paul suffered unbelievably. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 gives a long list of all the things that he was willing to go through for Jesus Christ. We don't come anywhere close to probably going through even a little bit of what Paul did. And we haven't lived in a country where we've had to. But I'm not sure that those days aren't coming, that we're going to have to suffer more for Christ if you're going to stand for Him. But He says, there's no need to be ashamed. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. It doesn't say, I know what I have believed. It says, I know whom I have believed. My faith, my trust is in a person. And that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, our God's Son, our Savior. He says, I trust in Him. I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded. I'm absolutely convinced that He is able to keep, to guard, to protect what I have committed to Him until that day. We can rest assured that God is able. We are in His powerful hands. We are under His control. We are His, and He's going to take care of us. He's going to keep what we commit to Him, and I pray that we would commit our lives each and every day, each and every moment to Him, and we can trust Him. Then he tells Timothy in verse 13, and I think these two verses are very important, because this is where we find the will of God. How do we know what God's will is for our lives? We're going to find that in His Word, and in particular, we're going to find that in the writings that God has given to us through the Apostle Paul. He is the apostle for this age we're living in today. He's the steward of this dispensation of the mystery, the dispensation of God's grace. And so he tells Timothy in verse 13, he says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. And that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Hold fast to the teaching of God's Word. That is so important in your life, that you spend time in God's Word, that you hold fast to that truth that God has made known for us today. It is sound words. I love the way Paul uses that expression over and over again. He says, the teaching that I'm giving you is sound words, sound teaching. The word sound is where we get our word hygiene. It comes from the Greek word where we get our word hygiene. It speaks about what's healthy. It speaks about what is life-giving. The truth of God, particularly the truth given to us through the Apostle Paul for us today, the will of God for us today, is sound, healthy teaching for our spiritual life, for our spiritual growth. It's important that we hold fast to it. So many have departed from this truth. Departed from the Word of God just in general, but particularly departed from the truth that was given to the Apostle Paul. Make no distinction whatsoever between God's dealings with Israel, God's dealings with the church. Try to mix up all the Scripture together, and they end up with confusion, and they end up with questions about how can I do this and do this, and it just doesn't fit with their lives. And they don't know what to do. They don't know, what is God's will for my life? It says this here and this here. You see, when we study and read all Scripture, it's important to understand all God's purposes, but we need to make sure that we focus on what is God's purpose for me living today as a member of the church, the body of Christ. He says, hold fast to it. It's been committed to you. I love that word. It's been entrusted to you. It's a beautiful deposit of truth that's been entrusted to you, to each one of us. If you're a believer, this message has been entrusted to you, even if you're young, like Colleen, like Ben, even younger. He said, this is a message God's entrusted to us. He says, guard it. Hold fast to it and guard it in faith and in the love which are in Christ Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. That's so important in your life. Never forget this. So, you know, so many people today are moving away from the Word of God, moving away from the worship of God in churches. You know, our church has experienced in the last several years a decrease in attendance. There's no question about it. But we're not the only church. There are churches everywhere who are experiencing the very same thing. Even some of the large churches are experiencing that. Now, why is that the case? Because people are turning away from the worship of God and from the study of His Word. And I would just encourage you as a young person, don't let this happen to you. Okay? We need young people who are dedicated to the Lord and serving the Lord and standing firm for the truth of God's Word. The second chapter of this epistle deals more with the work of God. We see throughout this chapter the guidelines for how can I be a faithful servant of the Lord. And Timothy needed to hear that. And he needed to hear some of the specific things. He begins in verse 1. He says, you therefore, my son, be strong, or literally be empowered in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's the power we have and that we need. We are dependent upon the power of God's grace, the power of God in our lives. We cannot serve Him apart from His grace. We cannot serve Him apart from His strength and His power within us. And what we have to do is an important thing. Look at verse 2. The things that you have heard from me, among many witnesses, you commit or you entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see, I think that's an important principle that I think sometimes we miss, and why it's important for every generation to understand their responsibility. The message that we have received, that we've been taught, that we've learned through the years, that's been entrusted to us, the wonderful message of God's grace and the truth of God's Word, how is it going to get passed to the next generation? Somebody has got to take the responsibility to take a stand for it, yes, but also to take and share it with others, to entrust it to others. And our young people need to realize that that's a responsibility that they have as believers in Jesus Christ. They're a part of that. They're a part of that. That may be, you know, when you get old enough and you have family, have children, to entrust it to your children, but you can entrust it to friends and to coworkers and people you go to school with, whatever it is. We have opportunities. Make sure that this message gets carried on. Otherwise, what's going to happen? You see, when a generation doesn't take that responsibility, it brings havoc. You look at the people of Israel. The days of Joshua were wonderful days in so many ways. They weren't perfect days, but they were wonderful days. Because you had a lot of people, a lot of families in a generation that were dedicated to serving the Lord. As for me and for my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. But you see, one of the things that generation failed at, they were faithful, but they didn't pass it on to their children. They didn't pass it on to the next generation. And the book that follows the book of Joshua is the book of Judges. And that was a terrible period, a horrible period in Israel's history, because they didn't know the Lord. They didn't know the things that God had done for them because it wasn't passed down. Everybody needs to take a part in that. It is the importance of our commission. It is our commission to take this message and this gospel of grace and pass it on to others. Look at verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 through 6. He gives three basically short little parables. He doesn't call them parables, but they're illustrations of what should a faithful servant be. The first thing is a faithful servant's like a good soldier. Look at verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. As believers in Jesus Christ, as servants of the Lord, we're like soldiers in the sense that we're going to have to endure hardship. The Christian life is not an easy life, okay? And it's getting more and more difficult every day. I hate to be a naysayer or a doomsayer or so forth, but I mean, I read that in the Scriptures, and I look around me every day, and I see what's going on in the world around me, and it's becoming more evident. It's getting harder and harder to take a stand as a Christian. He says, endure hardship. Soldiers have to do that. Soldiers sometimes have to give their lives. That's what we think about on Memorial Day. Is those who have given their lives and sacrificed for their country and service for their country. So a soldier's life is not an easy life. And it's a life that has to be, in a sense, separated. What he says there in verse 4, no one engaged in warfare becomes entangled in the things of this life or the affairs of this life. They have to be focused on the task at hand, and that is, you know, their service for their country and fighting the good fight and so forth. Well, as believers, that's what we have to focus on as well. We're engaged in a spiritual warfare. And if we get too tangled up in the things of this life, the things of the world, it's going to detract from our ability to serve the Lord and to fight the good fight of faith. And so, it's a strong draw. The world around us and the things that we see around us draw us away so easily from the things of God, from spiritual things. It's true in every one of our lives. We're drawn away by the world all so often. We've got to be, the word is vigilant. I'm thinking about vigilant. To watch for those things. You see, you also got to be like an athlete who competes in a competition, a race. Paul often compares the Christian life to running a race. He says in verse 5, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Our life as a Christian is exactly that. It's like running a race. It's a competition. And at the end, there are going to be rewards. The Lord is going to reward those who have faithfully served Him at what is called the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be received for the things that we've done in this body. All the people that stand before it are saved. But we're going to be rewarded for those things that we have done in faithful service from Him. I think too often, it's easy to get caught up in looking for rewards that are offered by the world. Whether it's your job, or whether it's your friends, or your peer group, or whatever it is, we want the praise and the reward that comes from men, more so than we do the things that God has prepared. So when we run this race, as we're engaged in living our lives day by day. Colleen, as you go out and you live your life day by day, think about what's most important. What am I going to set my eyes on? What do I look at as the finish line? What's the reward? Is it the things of this world or is it the things of God? And that's what's most important. And while we're doing it, he says, you got to compete according to the rules. And the rules, I guarantee you, are found in this book and this book only. This is where we see the guidelines. How does God want us to live today? How are we going to please God? If I'm going to receive rewards, where am I going to find out how I need to live so that I can please Him? It's going to be found in the Word of God. I know I'm like a broken record on this, but there's no way to stress how important it is that we spend time in God's Word. And for young people, I think that's especially true. As he goes on, look at verse 15. This is an important verse for, and we usually stress the last part of this verse, but I want to stress the first part. The first part says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word diligent means to endeavor, to spend the time, the effort, to make haste, in a sense. To present yourself approved to God. So every day, as you face every day, and as you face every activity or everything that you're involved in, you ask yourself this question, is this something God would approve of? Is this something that will be well-pleasing to God? You know, it might be well-pleasing to you, might be well-pleasing to the people around you, might be well-pleasing to the people you work for, but the question that's most important is be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker, because that's what we are. We are workers for Him. We are called unto good works after we're saved. And He says, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. We stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I can think back in my life and there are a lot of things I'm going to be ashamed of. You want to strive every day to make sure that when we stand before His judgment, that we stand before Him unashamed. That we have done the things that are pleasing to Him. We've tried to honor Him in our life and service. And that's an important thing. The last part certainly is important, rightly dividing the Word of truth. How do we understand the Scriptures? We rightly divide the Scriptures. We look at the Scriptures from a dispensational viewpoint to see and understand and know the truth. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. And that's important as well. In verses 19 through 26, I'm not going to read through all of this, it's a long portion, but it talks about the importance of being a vessel. But a vessel that brings honor to God. That's what every believer should seek to be, is a vessel that brings honor to God. Now, in order to do that, we have to be vessels that depart from iniquity. We have to be vessels that are cleansed, vessels that are sanctified, vessels that are purified, that God can take and use. That's what we want in our lives, that God would take us and use us. He says, flee youthful lusts and desires. And there's so many things that appeal to us and appeal to the young. But even a lot of those same youthful desires appeal to us as well, even as older people. We have to flee those things. There are times to flee. Joseph, when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, knew there was a time that the only thing to do is simply to flee. And those are the things. There are things to pursue. You are to pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Those are important for us. If we're going to serve the Lord, those are important principles. And when you're dealing with those who are outside of Christ, and I hope that every one of us have those encounters with people, have those dealings with people. He says, when we deal with them, don't argue. It doesn't do any good to get into arguments and contend and strive with people about things. You can reason, and Paul did that a lot. He reasoned with people out of the Scriptures, but you don't argue. You don't want to get into arguments about it and blow up over it. You're gentle. We need to be gentle with people who are unbelievers. We need to be humble. We need to be patient or long-suffering with them. And we need to trust God to change their hearts. Sometimes it's tough when you're dealing with people, and especially these days, it seems like so many people have turned away from God completely. A lot of people that simply come out and say, oh, I don't believe in God at all. They're atheists. It's difficult to deal with them. They certainly don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. They don't even believe that God exists. So it's tough to deal with them. I'll tell you this, as a believer, you can't change anybody's heart. I can't change anybody's heart. All we can do is share with them what we've learned from God's Word. Share with them the truth. And if you do that, God can change hearts. God can use His Word, and God's Spirit can use His Word in people's lives to change hearts. we're the vessels, in a sense. We're the ones who bear that wonderful message. We have this treasure, and this treasure is the gospel, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We need to keep that in mind as servants. Chapter 3 moves on to the focus on the Word of God. He's already focused on the Word of God a lot, but the real focus intensifies about the Word of God in chapter 3. Paul talks about the fact, and he tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, you need to understand something, you need to know something, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Now, Paul was experiencing some of that already. Okay? Timothy was experiencing some of that already. It's getting worse. The days are becoming more and more perilous. The word means literally hard. Hard to deal with. Hard to put up with. We live in an age in which it's hard to deal with. And he gives a list of the characteristics of the way that our world is going. Read through it with me quickly. Verse 2. He says, men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. Slanderers. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's the world we live in, is it not? We're there, in a sense. We're there. We're living in last days. We're living in perilous times right now. And it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. And the worst part of it is the most subtle. The most devious part of it is what we see in verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people, what does he say do? Turn away. That's where Satan is at work, probably in the most insidious way, is the fact that he comes in the form of godliness. He presents himself in the form of godliness, religion, worship, church. All those ideas are there, but it's just the form. It's just the outward show of spirituality, the outward show of worship of God, the outward show of belief in God. But he says they deny the power of godliness. They deny God Himself. They deny the truth of God's Word, that the Bible is mainly the inspired Word of God. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny the necessity and the sufficiency of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for our sins. They deny the presence of the Holy Spirit. All these things are the power of godliness, and the world denies it. They have the show of it outwardly. Satan does that. Satan's ultimate desire is to be worshipped. So you can't imagine he's still going to be involved in religion, the world's religion. He says we need to be very careful that we turn away from those who would deny the power when it's just an outward show. And sadly to say, there are many churches today that that's all it is. Their worship and their services and their practice and so forth is just the outward show of godliness when there's no real power of godliness behind what's done there. And we need to be careful of that. He talks about people that are always learning, but never able to come to a full knowledge of the truth. Education is very important in our world today, still held in high esteem and high regard. But education and knowledge about what? So much of what is put forth as higher learning these days is not real truth. And the real truth that we find is the truth of God that's found in His Word. People are always learning, but too many people are never learning the Word of God and what it says. There are men of corrupt minds oftentimes who resist the truth of God, which is a foolish thing to do. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. In a sense, the fool has said in his heart that this is not the Word of God. That's a foolish thing to do. Ideas like the theory of evolution and question about ethics and morality being an objective thing and a situational thing, those are all teachings that are contrary to the Word of God and contrary to the nature of God Himself. It's not an easy thing. Look at verse 10. Paul says, if you're gonna stand for Christ, you're gonna face difficulties. He says, verse 10, you have carefully followed my doctrine, my teaching, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long suffering, love, perseverance. Look at verse 11. The persecutions and afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, verse 12. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There's the idea of the good soldier. Now, it does not say all Christians will suffer persecution, does it? There's a difference. It says all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I encourage you, as you go out into the world, that you have that desire in your heart to live godly in Christ Jesus, but to know that there's a cost to that. There's a cost to that. There are sufferings. There are persecution that will come. There's animosity that you'll face from the world. It will happen. Paul says when he wrote the Philippians, he says, it's been granted to you as a gift of God's grace, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His name's sake. That's a tough thing to put your head around or your heart around, but it's a wonderful thing. That's why Paul said when he wrote the Philippians 2, he said, I want to know Him. I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. I want to be able to suffer with Him for His name's sake. It's a tough thing to do, but and the world is there. Look at verse 13. Evil men and imposters, those who would seduce others, he says they're going to grow worse and worse. That expression, we sometimes use the expression, it's going to go from bad to worse. That's sort of the idea of that expression right there. It's going to go from bad to worse. People are going to be deceiving others, and they themselves are going to be deceived. That's going to continue, and it's not going to get better. What do we do? Here's the crux, I think, of the whole thing, verse 14. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. I would say to you, Colleen, that this is one of the things I want to stress to you. You must continue in the things that you have learned, knowing from whom you've learned them. You've learned them from your parents. You've learned them from teachers at school. You've learned them from teachers here. Look at verse 15. That from a child, from childhood, just very young age, you have known the Holy Scriptures. The things that, he says, the Scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is the book by which you're saved. The message and the gospel by which you're saved when you believe the truth of the gospel. He says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed out by God Himself. This is His words. And it's profitable. How much of it? All of it. All of it's profitable. For what? For doctrine, for teaching us, for reproof, for correction, for telling us, what's wrong in our lives and how to correct it, for instruction in righteousness or righteous living. We find everything we need in life, everything that's a benefit, everything that's a profit to us is going to be found in God's Word. That's why it's important that we continue in that, abide in that truth. And this book, he says, that the man of God may be complete. The word has reference to spiritual maturity. Every one of us, we want to grow in our Christian lives. We don't want to remain babes. When you first trust Christ as Savior, you're just a baby. You're a babe in Christ. You want to grow. You want to grow in your knowledge of God. You want to grow in your faith in God and your love for God. You want to grow in your understanding of God's purpose for your life. And this comes from the Word of God, that the man of God may be complete or spiritually mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to be ready to serve Him. We need to be equipped to serve Him. We find that equipping in the Word of God. That's why God gave pastors and teachers and evangelists for the equipping of the saints, so that they could do the work of the ministry and build up the body of Christ. That's what we're called to do. As young people, that's what you're called to do. And again, you're an adult. You reached the point where you're an adult. I know she had her 18th birthday just the other day, so you're ready to go out and serve the Lord, and you were already to serve the Lord, but this is kind of a milestone. So this is important. Question, how do you recognize the deceit that's there? How do you resist the false teaching that's out there? And that's why in the last chapter we see the charge that Paul gives to Timothy. And this, the fourth chapter, concerns our witness for God. Look at verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. Now, your first response, many of your first response may be, but I'm not a preacher. And Timothy was. So this is just for Timothy. Nope, that word preach doesn't have anything to do with standing behind a pulpit. Okay? You can stand behind a pulpit and preach, but you don't have to stand behind a pulpit to preach. The word just means to proclaim. Like a herald would proclaim a message that needs to be heard. That's what he says. You need to proclaim the Word. This is his final charge. This is what we're all called to do. He says, and be prepared for it. Preach the Word. Be ready. Be prepared. In season and out of season. There'll be times when it's easy. There'll be times when it's convenient. There'll be times when it's well received. Preach the Word then. There'll be times when it's not easy, when it's not convenient, when it's not well received.
Preach the word. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. He says, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and with teaching. Long suffering means be patient. Be willing to suffer. If people respond to you in a negative way, be willing to suffer. Humbly take it. Don't get into an argument. Turn away from them. You're going to lose your opportunity to share further with them the truth of God that can change their lives. He says, do it with long suffering and do it with teaching. I think that a lot of people miss out. Preaching the word is being ready with answers. We're to be ready to give an answer to anybody who asks us the reason for the hope that was that's within us. We're to be ready with answers. That's one of the things that's difficult about, a little bit more difficult these days about witnessing is, I think years and years ago, people could just share the gospel, simple gospel, and just give the simple gospel message, and a lot of people were receptive to that. And that's why I used to see a lot of street preaching and so forth, and people coming to know Christ through street preaching and so forth. These days, people have questions. People are going to question you. People are going to ask questions about everything you say. We need to be ready with answers. That's why teaching is an important part of witnessing, is being a student of the Word, being knowledgeable about the things of God. Now, don't think that you've got all the answers. Nobody's got all the answers except God. I tell people, when I don't know an answer to something, I tell people, I don't know the answer. I'm not sure. And there are a lot of things that people are not sure about. But you share as much as you can, what you know, do it. The reason it's important, look at verse 3. Here's what's happening. Here's where our world is going. The time will come when they will not endure or remain under sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. In other words, the idea is they want to hear something that makes them feel good. They want to hear something that kind of scratches an itch, and that's all they want to listen to. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. Do we see that today? We see that today. A lot of people, you know, preachers are telling people what they want to hear, telling people that will make them feel good about themselves. They don't tell them that they're sinners and that they need a Savior and that they can't do anything to save themselves and that they're helpless on their own. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear how good they are and how good life can be and how easy the Christian life is and all of that. They want to hear lies. They don't want to hear the truth. A lot of people are sucked into that. And he says they want to heap up these teachers for them. And what they do is this, verse 4, they will turn their ears away from the truth and they will be turned aside to fables. When you turn away from God's Word, you are prey for Satan to direct you anywhere he wants you to go. He will turn you away and turn you aside from the truth to fables. That's what we see so much in our world today. It's a difficult world to be a witness, but that's what we're to do. He says to him in verse 5, he told Timothy, he says, you be watchful in all things. Keep your eyes open. Be alert. Be vigilant about every opportunity. Endure afflictions when they come. Do the work of an evangelist. Preach the gospel. He says, fulfill your ministry. Every one of us have a ministry. The word ministry just means service. Every one of us, no matter what the age is, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a ministry. What he tells Timothy is fulfill your ministry. Carry out to the fullest what God has called you to do. Colleen, I pray that you will carry out to the fullest what God has called for you to do. He's given you a ministry. He's given you opportunities. Use those for His glory. Last a couple of things. I think if we focus on that, the importance of fulfilling our ministry, then we'll be able to say what Paul does in verse 7. Paul, at the end of his life, was able to say this. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Every believer, that should be what we want our desire to be able to say. I want to say with Paul, at the end of my life, that these things are true of me. I have fought. I have agonized in this battle, in this fight that I'm involved with for Jesus Christ. I have finished the race of the course that He's laid out for my life. And through it all, I have kept and guarded the faith, the truth of the Word. I have been faithful to Him as He has been faithful to me. And when we do that, verse 8 says, finally it is laid up for me, Paul says, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. We're all going to stand before that judgment seat. We're all going to have that opportunity to receive rewards for faithful service to the Lord. Paul's going to receive his rewards, but we have opportunities as well. And I think we should keep our minds set on that. You know, one of the things that helped Moses when he was down in Egypt, raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he reached a point in life, he was 40 years old, in fact, and when he decided, I don't want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter anymore. I refuse that. I'm going to put aside the things of Egypt and everything it has to offer, and I'm going to suffer with the children of Israel.
I'm going to suffer the people of God for the cause of our Redeemer, and I'm going to be willing to do that. But one of the things that helped him was that the whole time he kept his eye on what was the eventual reward. He always had his eyes on. That's why we see such stress upon looking unto Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to be looking unto Jesus. Looking away from everything else, unto one thing. And that's a person, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Lord will be with us. Look at verses 17 and 18. We'll close with this. Paul says, you know, I've had a lot of troubles in my life, but the Lord stood with me. The Lord strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, he says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. As He did with Paul, the Lord will be with you in whatever you do. He will stand with you. He will preserve you throughout your life. He will deliver you and preserve you to fulfill whatever purpose He has for your life. Now, we don't know how long that's going to be. We don't know how long, you know, our lives are going to be. We don't know exactly what that purpose is. We don't know what another day will bring forth. But as we walk with the Lord, day by day, He'll be there for us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will preserve us for our eternal home to be with Him in glory. As we live our lives, and Colleen, as you go out and start a new phase of your life, I pray that these instructions that Paul gave Timothy will help you in your own life as you serve the Lord throughout your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time we could be together and just spend some time in Your Word and look at these encouragements to us and the importance of living our life for You. Living our life according to Your will, doing the work You've called us to do, remaining firm and continuing in the Word that's been given, and realizing the importance of the ministry that we have of entrusting Your Word and sharing the Gospel with other people. Father, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your power. We thank You, Father, for the purpose that You've given us in our lives, and we pray that You will direct us. And we pray especially for Colleen. She's entering this new phase of her life as she works for a year and then goes on to college. We pray that You'll lead and guide and direct her, for that the Word of God will be something that she stands firm upon and spends time in. And we pray that You will bless her and her ministry for You and her family as well. And we ask these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.